to say, yes, sir. And then the Bible goes on to say, hey, if you are obedient, you are calling the Bible, Alaba Shake Bredo Sokodo. Hey! Hallelujah! Ah, no, let's do this thing. Give me 1 Peter chapter 3. I feel the anointing to teach this thing.
If the light goes on, it's not enough. It's not enough for the light to go on. The Bible says the light shines. It shines. No, my light will not just go on. No, my light will not just go on. It's not enough that you cleared. You have to be excellent. Your light, no. It's not enough that you feel before. And he has put all things under his sight. Under his sight. At arm's length. Where has he put them? Somebody shout, it's under my feet.
Now, in these services we've been having, we've been dealing with ingredients of breakthrough. And literally what we were saying last week, last time when we had this meeting, we were saying that one ingredient of breakthrough is what we talked about, divine favor. Basically, that's what I was telling you. Because I took time to demonstrate to you that if the Lord is not building, they build in vain, they that build. If the Lord is not watching over the house, they watch in vain, they that watch. And then he says, it is useless for you to work hard and eat the bread of toil, because he gives good gifts to those he loves in their sleep, Psalm 127. And I began to show you how that There's a certain extent to which a child of God must not labor a certain way. There's just a certain point where, as a child of God, if you notice, you are working too hard. And especially when you see that you're working too hard, you're not producing certain results. It means there's an error somewhere. And you must have faith in the prayer of inquiry so that God can show you why. I shared with you how that there was a certain period in my life when I wanted to release a book. God had told me to write a book, Decoding Destiny. And at the time, it was people where, people would easily take their books and the books would come out, right? But when it came to me, I wrote a very nice book and I labored. Because I wrote that book about 3 times. The first time I wrote the book, the laptop got stolen. The second time I wrote the book again, the laptop got stolen, just before I would publish it. And the second time I said, I am done. I'm not going to write this thing again. And the moment I finished, a prophet friend of mine walked into the room and said, the Lord said, write that book. I said, come here. You tell the Lord, he hasn't told me. But I said, okay, I'm going to write. When I wrote that book, just publishing it became very difficult. People, one time I went to check to find out why my book is not being printed. And this publisher says to me, the strangest reason is the moment we put your book there, it stops working. But for all these other people, it is working. I said, hey. Now, I knew there was something wrong somewhere. I knew. Sometimes you can just tell by the way things are going, there's something wrong somewhere. It needs some kind of fixing. There's just a certain level of labor, which is not, it is not your niche as a child of God. There's just a certain, God did not employ you kumubomba chipuba. There's just a certain level of results that you must not work too hard for. Because you do not work alone. The Bible says, you have come to Mount Zion. To the spirit of just men made perfect. Then it says, to the firstborn of the assembly of God. And it says, to innumerable angels. Innumerable angels in lawful gathering. What are those angels doing? So there's just a certain level of labor that is not your portion. This should be. When you've pushed and you're noticing that things are not coming out the way they're supposed to come out, it means something needs to be fixed somewhere. Because as a child of God, I'll tell you this, everything that I do must work. Now, I'm not making a confession. I'm trying to show you how I work. If I notice something, it's not working, and I'm having to work too hard, I go to ask God, why is this not producing fruit? When I was in my third year, God spoke to me and he said, every friendship that must not bear fruit must not be continued. So even the friendships I have had from that time, I've looked for fruit. Either I must see fruit in your life or through my association with you. You must see fruit. There must be fruit there. I went to pray. I knew there was a warfare. When I went to pray, suddenly, I was getting frustrated. The more I prayed, the more I got frustrated. And I began to inquire of the Lord. I said, what is the problem? Someone said, what is the problem? You know, and I'm not saying, you know, there's a difference between saying, what is the problem? What have I done? Where you're questioning everything and saying, Lord, show me. What do I need to deal with? I'll give you for example. The issue of money is a function of two main things. Having money is a function of two main things. Number one, it's a function of obedience to the word of God and to the voice of God. Number two, it is a function of positioning, meaning where are you? What are you doing? Those two things, they are the pillars and foundations of money. Number one, obey God. Give, tithe, do whatever God tells you to do in his word. Very important. And number two, sometimes you position yourself in places where you're supposed to be. You've seen your friends are coming up with a savings scheme and they're doing 350 and you're not interested. You are not positioning yourself rightly. You have seen that there's an investment or a project you can be a part of. You are not being a part of those things. You are not searching. You are not positioning yourself. Because you see, sometimes money is in a project. Sometimes money is with a person who seems to have a certain kind of direction. So you need to position yourself properly with people, with ideas, and also with places where God wants you to be. Money is a function of two main things. Now, when you notice that after you have obeyed and you've believed to the best of your ability, you have also positioned yourself correctly and you are still not having a certain flow, you need to ask God, what do I need to do? Lord, what could there be somewhere I'm missing it? I'm not saying, Lord, how come everything I do? No, not that kind of thing. That's not inquiry. That's complaining. Sometimes the Spirit of God will open your eyes. You see, there was a man of God in a certain place who was invited, Brother Kenneth Hagin, he was invited to a certain place to preach. And when he was preaching, the church had few people. Very few people. And when he stood to preach on the altar, he noticed that there was such a heavy presence, not a weight of glory. Just a heaviness where, like, you're preaching, you're feeling dry. You're preaching. And he said to himself, I'll never go back there again. He's preaching, and the word is just reaching here and hitting him back in the face. So Kenneth Hagin left. Now, the pastor who was in that church knew that there's something wrong with where I am. So he went to pray. And he began to fast. And as he was fasting and praying, and seeking the face of God, trying to find out, why is my church at the same level? Why is my zone at the same level? Why is my business not growing? Why am I always being disappointed? You know, one time I can understand. Two times I can tolerate. Three times, Three times is three much. what could I be not doing correctly? Lord, show me. And as he was praying, suddenly he saw a big baboon sitting on the terraces of that church. Just on top there. The Lord opened his eyes and he saw where the problem was. And he said, I see you, foul spirit of darkness. I command you to come out of this church building. And the spirit said, no, this is my place. These are my people. I own them. You people, you don't know how God, powers of darkness, think. There are principalities that have been set over families. And if you engage them in conversations or in a deliverance session, what they will tell you is, these are my people. They are mine. They are mine. They are mine. And depending on the kind of spirit, it will tell you the kind of life they need to live and the one that they can't live because that one, that spirit can't afford it. This is what they're supposed to be experiencing. He said, these are not your people, these are God's people. I command you in the name of Jesus, get out. And the spirit freaked out and it jumped a little. And he said, I said out. And it kept going out. And he said, I said out, keep going and never come back. Now, he kept moving. He escorted it out of the church until it left. He could tell it left the city. And then afterwards, the church changed. And even after Kenneth Hagin was invited, things had just changed in the atmosphere. Do you know how to read atmospheres? And the first atmosphere you need to read is your own. Two or three people, what do they say about me? It can spell the kind of spirit you have. You know, there are people who've got a sweet spirit. The moment you sit down and talk to them, you just be happy. Then there are some, they are, and I'm not saying they are not saved. They are saved. But there's an atmosphere about them that four people know except themselves. Oh, everyone knows you have this problem, you. You have a tough mouth. But you think it's cute. And I went to inquire of the Lord. And as I was inquiring of the Lord as to why my book was not coming out, suddenly, someone says suddenly, I saw a spirit that looked like a frog sitting right there in the living room. And I began to rebuke that thing. I said, in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. And the more I rebuked, the larger it grew. I now said, you, in the name of Jesus. Mama said, whom Pastor Mudeli preaches? I said, you. And the more I rebuked, and I now said, Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of God now tells me, this thing is feeding on your frustration. The more you are being frustrated and you are not exercising your faith, instead you are just getting frustrated and wondering why things are going left, the more it's empowered. You see, there are spirits that are fueled by habits we keep. They know you've got authority in Christ Jesus. They know that. But they know that the amount of time that you use to exercise that authority cannot be compared to the amount of time you service the habit. So there is a disproportionate application of self. As a result, one side is not as much as the other. So instead of feeding your authority and your consecration and serving God, you are feeding your manners. So you find that the spirit that afflicts you, that makes you go, that allows you to go two steps backwards and two steps forward and 10 backwards, still lingers around. You see, there are some of you, the places you must be are very high places. But there are just one or two things you need to do. And one of them is inquire of the Lord, what is it that you don't like about me that I must change? If there's anything that is holding me back. Because by now, there's a certain place I must be. Oh Lord, show me. Someone say, oh Lord, show me. I want you to raise your right hand and say, oh Lord, open my eyes. That I may see what I need to deal with. And access my breakthrough. Brothers and sisters, this is your power as a Christian. This is your secret as a Christian. You must be humble enough to say, Lord, what do I need to deal with? And I began to praise God and glorify God and just thank Him. And then the vision was taken away from me. And then in 3 days' time, my book came out. And then I began to see something I'd never seen before. One time, I was coming out of my room, Africa Forum 9, Unza. And as I was coming out, I saw angels lining up and they were made of rainbow. I'd never seen anything like that. I said, oh my goodness, who are these guys? And then the Lord told me, they have come to make sure that your book and this event is a success. You see, it doesn't matter how much your success is. God enjoys sending the servants. The Bible says, angels are servants sent to the assistance of those who are heirs of salvation. Your project may not be for 5,000 people. It may be for 3 people. But somehow you still have angelic protection. For many reasons. Number one, you are a child of the King. Number two, you belong to Mount Zion, because the Bible says you've come to Mount Zion, to a city, to a place of innumerable angels in joyful celebration. And then number three, sometimes the level of warfare requires angelic activity. It may be a small thing that you're doing as a child of God. Small. Sometimes you wonder, but it's just this small thing. Why is the warfare so heavy? But they that are for you, they that are for you, are more than they that are against you. Hallelujah. So you seek the face of God. You learn to seek the face of God. Don't just cry. I told you about David. How he cried and cried and cried. And God was quiet. Until he went to seek the face of God to say, Lord, why? Let me tell you. There are many ways in which God is going to reveal to you the things that you need to know. Have you ever been there where you had a question? The moment you come to church, when Pastor Daniel is preaching, suddenly you begin to realize, I think this is what I needed to hear. This is why when you are coming to church, don't just appear. Say, Lord, if there are any areas you need to illuminate, give that man my word. That's why I am here, to bring light unto your path, to bring you the word of the Lord. As we speak, as I am preaching to you, your mind is opening. It could be a message on breakthrough. But for you, there will be that one phrase that will just bring your breakthrough. So as you are coming to church, you prepare like that. Hallelujah. That's one important ingredient of breakthrough. You need to learn to walk with the Spirit. It could be a conversation you're going to be having with friends that are saved. As you are having that conversation, suddenly that friend of yours is going to say something that is just going to open your medulla oblongata. You'll just be like, hey! This is what surround yourself with people. Surround yourself with people, not just human beings. Surround yourself with people. That if you sit down, you know that this person, if we sat down for the next hour, it's just the word, podcast, scriptures. And as you go deeper, as you press into the conversation, they are going to say something that will hit a notch in your spirit. And you just be like, yes, I've been thinking about this thing. And then you say to them, flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father. Hey, somebody say yes. Yes. So, quaten kwa friendships, aya kwatako order. Ama conversations with be, aya kwatako order. Not the moment that you begin discussing the word, it starts feeling awkward. It means that relationship was not born from God. It was born from awkward. And it must go back there. You can't sit down with be and say, the word, the scriptures. I looked forward to having a relationship with someone where we can sit down and talk about the word. Not you're sitting about, you women, you're talking to your man, or you want to just keep addressing him. How he's slow, how he doesn't notice that you've bathed, all those things. It's, okay, how different are you from the pagans? Because they also seek after those things. They are looking for a man who lives for them. You're always discussing what's your vision. He has already told you it's in the pipeline. If you want to stay in the relationship, you have to live with the fact that it's pipelining. So for now, you can discuss the word. Who knows? As you are having that conversation, an idea will come into his head. And then the Lord will open up the destiny for the both of you. And oh, the lady said, it is a spirit. I told you, it is a spirit. It's a spirit who gives life. The flesh profits for nothing. Even just with your friends, your normal friends, you're sitting down, all you're discussing is, you know, school, Senate, I don't know about these exams, I've been pushing. All you're doing is exams. I know, but have time for the Spirit of God. Have time for what the Word of God teaches. Even with your workers, some of you, you don't want to employ fellow Christians because you think, you know, with my boss, we sit down in my office and we discuss the word for 2 hours straight. Just the word. That's my boss. Just then afterwards he tells me, ah, man of God, can you do that, that, and that, and that? And then he walks away. And then I've got a workload. I'm like, this man, we're just from discussing the word as fellow Christians. Then he just switched on me. Then after I'm done, the next day he will come again. You know, man of God, that scripture you shared with me. And then afterwards, let me tell you some of the things that happen in my office. Huh? I remember there was one time, I'm walking in the office like this. And then there was a man, I will not say his name, you know him. He's a miner. He's a cherubo. He's big. So they were discussing, after they had finished discussing, Pastor Charles says, ah, that's a man of God. And I wasn't looking it, you know. Same time I don't look it. Now I'm looking it. So he says, that's a man of God. And he looked at me. He says, oh, okay. So I left, I came back. So as they were discussing, Pastor Charles began to discuss the word. And when I hear the word, I hear my name. So I went there and we began to discuss. And then he said, you know, I love God, but I said, no, don't worry. I can sort this problem out. After he mentioned it, I won't say it. Then in the boardroom, in an office like this, I now said to him, your problem, there is a spirit. Nishna packing a jeep pants. I said, there's a spirit. He looked at me. I said, can I pray for you? Now, you know, people don't reject that. He said, yes. I said, sit. I took them hands. And he put them there. I said, out. In his words, he said, the chair, because that was my office. He said, the chair pushed me. He says, he felt the chair push me. And he fell to the floor and manifested. Now, that's my area. That's my area. Someone say, that's my area. You need to know your areas. You know, sometimes you could be doubting, say, I don't know what's causing this sickness. But let me just pray. As you're praying, the person, you say, no, all of you, stay away. I can handle this. I commanded that thing to come. I saw a snake around him. I said, okay. Afterwards, I broke it. We prayed. And then he passed out now. And everyone was like, I now said to him, let's imagine his name is John. I now said to him, John.
He's there.
I said, John. Then he woke up like this. I said, go and never sin again. Your sins have been forgiven. Pastor Charles was challenged. He was like, what? About 3 days later, I was coming from work. He came to give me a testimony. There's a chief that came for legal services. He got him saved, got him filled with the Spirit, and he was speaking in tongues upstairs. Meanwhile, we remain very professional. We still collect our costs. We still push. Amen. We just understand how we work. You get my point. Yes. Those are some of the friendships and boss. Not a boss who feels like, no, I can't talk to you because I feel like maybe you are going to enter me. No. You, and even you, when you are employed by people who can talk to you, you remain humble. Even if you advise them, remain a worker. Are you listening to me? So, one important ingredient of breakthrough is a walk with the Spirit. And that walk with the Spirit is designed to be supernatural. I remember there's a woman that came. She was begging for money. At that time, at the firm, you know, a business always has that period where you are still believing God. So this woman came and she couldn't walk like this. She was asking for money. I said, these women, what's who ask for money? I said, we don't have. As she was going, I had compassion on her. I now said to the secretary, come here. Call that woman back. I said to her, silver and gold. Have I not? And then the Lord began to show me the source of her sickness. I said to her, people offended you, you need to forgive them. And she began to weep and weep, and we prayed for her. She was not completely healed, but you can tell she walked better. And she said she's going to let those people go. At work. Pastor looked at me. He said, this man. Let me tell you one last one. One day, one of our fellow workers, an accountant, said to another one, says, this man prayed for me. I no longer use my lenses. The girl said, really? Yes. She had a problem with her belly was, I don't know, it was hurting. She had an infection, actually. So, after being marketed, this SDA girl still never believed. So I went to market my services again. I said, you know, you need to know what you carry. It's not siku zimvela. Yes. So I went to market my services just before she knocked off. I said, you know, I've got some products that you could use. I have the name of Jesus, you know, which has given me the anointing. I marketed myself. She looked at me. She says, She went. She was about to leave. I said, you are in pain. Let me pray for you. Now, I did the let me pray for you. I forced things. She now says, out of the kindness of her heart and out of the principle of the Chamonix women, she said to me, yes, I will pray for you. I said, sit. She said, no. I said, oh, normally when I'm doing this procedure, people normally have, they go numb. She said, no, pray. I said, okay. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Do. I said, I ushered her. Just no one was looking. There's no pain. I said, give glory to God. Amen. Even if, do you know, let me tell you something. Even if you prayed for someone and you never saw an instant healing, something happens to their spirit the moment you pray for them. You open their heart up to God. Some of them may even end up dying in God because of that prayer. If they die in the night, maybe the reason they didn't die early was because they were waiting for your prayer. It will open them up to God. Also, it will change their perception of you. Some of you are too cool. You are too cool. You are too cool. So you can't say, let me pray for you. No, you are too corporate. I remember one time in university, one of my friends says to me, I've been having this stomach problem. And it's going on. She was just looking weak. You may know her. She's senior counsel now. She says to me, I don't know. And I said, okay. And the next day, I now said to her, okay, I have a few products. Someone said products. I said, come to WEM. I wish she came to WEM. I said, come here. I laid hands. I wish there was a demon. They had poisoned us. You know, people come from villages. The village people had also come with their own products. When two products meet, the gonga bows. In class, those were people who were smarter than me. Next time they even beat me in class. And I said, this is what you're supposed to be doing. That's what she's called to be. I'm not jealous. I'm happy for you. There are people I prayed for like this. I prayed for them. One day, I taught someone faith. She'll tell you. Her name is Wadia. Some of you may know her. She's senior counsel. She says, you remember her? We all struggled when writing exams. I now said to her, come here. I preached faith to her and prayed for her. She said, you know what? You've lifted me. In fact, I am buying my graduation. I'm buying my gown. I'm buying my wig. I said, this girl. She bought. Maybe about 50 people passed out of 800 of us. She was one of them. Guess what I went to say to her? Congratulations. What about you? It is well. Don't worry. At least I know my products are working. You know, a prophet always reaches a point where they ask him, if you are a prophet, prophesy to yourself. If you are a savior, save yourself. Every minister of products reaches a point where they are asked, how come these products are not working for you? You are always telling us. So that now you begin to see that the manifestation of the power of God is different from your relationship with God. It is not whether I have or I don't have that makes me a true child of God. It is my personal conviction of the reality of God. I know him so that now I can say, O King, live forever. If you throw us in the fiery furnace, our God is able to save us. But if he decides these boys will burn, we want you to know that we will still be praying in the furnace. You'll be seeing skeletons as we are burning, shouting, Hallelujah! Yes, that's how it works. We go through things, and how come it doesn't work for him? Don't worry. Don't fall. I have my own path. Paul said, when I came to you, I came with an affliction, but you still treated me as an angel. The man of God had an affliction. He even prayed about it that God should take it out, and God said, don't worry, don't worry. So the man would come with an affliction in church like this. He would come and say, Hallelujah. And he would preach amazing things and work miracles and say, take me home. Another man. The Bible says he died. He was sick with the sickness with which he died. Yet his bones, his body gave up. But the anointing was still there. The assignment was not finished. You see why you need to take care of your bodies. You can find that before your assignment finishes, your body finishes. So you must equally. But I will tell you something. There is a certain place as you begin to express your faith in God that the eternal life you have received begins to vitalize your mortal bodies. The Bible says, if the spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, it says that spirit, he's not talking about the resurrected body. He says that same spirit will revitalize, will give life to your mortal body. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to give life to your body. Some of you have seen it in prayer. You are so tired. You know what I do? After I've worked the whole day, I go home. I don't like my bed because I know that when I hit my head on that thing, I'm gone. So what I do is I go to the living room around 22 hours. I go to the living room and I lay down on the sofa. The sofa is you know that sun for in June where it's out but you're still feeling cold. How many have felt that sun before? You can see the sun. There are no clouds but kwazizila still. That's the sofas I have. It's soft, but it's hard. It's so uncomfortable on that sofa. You can sleep, but when you wake up, your body will be feeling like they beat you. So I put this flesh under. I put it there. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 9:27, but I beat my body. I punish my flesh so that after preaching, I myself may not be a counterfeit. So I lay there, and at exactly 01, I wake up very sleepy. But very uncomfortable. Because the only way my spirit will pray is through my body. So I have to make the two work together. So now I wake up. Kerebesho tolo varadias kati bregedeshka. Entepeto totokotoko shakata babash. Savradia keteshka. Then I begin, Lord, I thank you for my wife. Lord, I thank you for my son. Oh, Lord, thank you for the House of the Faith Church. Lord, I thank you for surrounding me with people who think. Lord, I'm telling you, in fact, last time I was praying, this was my prayer. I began to give thanks to God for each of you. I said, wow, look at Flavian, what a blessing. I began to count your blessings, my blessings. I began to say, Lord, look at the mass choir. Look at what they've done. I just began to thank God. I began to pick each of you. Each of you. Did we feature? I just began to thank God. Then I stood up. I began to walk. I began to thank God. And then I began, Ezivarato Korobash. Then I feel gichi gichi. Parakato shaka tutu sukate. Then I feel gichi gichi. Then I say, Ekasotopa. Then I feel parakata kashakata pakata. Shabapapakata. If the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. You know, listen to me. The comparison is like this. Jesus, we are not talking about the Christ. Jesus was a dead body. He was dead. We are talking about his body. It was dead. But there was a spirit that gave life to Jesus. Not the Christ, the body, Jesus, gave it life and brought it back. It was dead. Now, if that spirit can give life to a dead body, what about a tired body? That's not as much. What about a sick body? That spirit. So there's a certain level of your faith where the eternal life in you, where the spirit of God in you begins to consume lusts, begins to consume bad thoughts, begins to consume sickness, begins to arrest sexual dreams, begins to arrest dog dreams, because the spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. Somebody shout, he lives in me. That's why the Bible says, greater is he that is in you. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody shout. Let us be upstanding so that we can go home. Listen, you're not an ordinary human being. You have a spirit, the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. And he can communicate to you. He can show you what to do. He can give you guidance. Today, the level of breakthrough I want to bring to your attention is a walk with the Spirit. And I just want you to begin acknowledging the Spirit of God lives in me. I am not an ordinary human being. I am not like everybody else. I am someone else. Begin to acknowledge. He speaks to me in my dreams, and I understand. He speaks to me as I have conversations with my friends, and I understand. He speaks to me as I am reading the word, and I understand. He speaks to me as I am working, and I understand. He speaks to me as I'm watching nature, and I understand. He speaks to me as I'm talking to my mentor.